Good morning and welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast, released not so regular lately, on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am your amateur catechist, Richard Reeve. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is Wednesday, September the 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2022. Collect for the day, Wednesday after the 13th, Sunday after Pentecost. O Lord God, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. My apologies. I have been on a bit of a hiatus due to an ear infection, and it was my 30th and wedding anniversary, and it seemed appropriate to give more time to my wife. So, we are on question 177 in the Catechism. This morning I'm drinking an amaretto coffee blend. It's quite nice. Enjoying it quite a bit. Just a lot of cream. So, back to the catechism. Question 177. How can you hallow God's name? I can honor God's name as holy by worshiping him, serving others, and living in loving obedience as his child and a citizen of his kingdom. So, question 177. How, so in what way, in what fashion, can you hallow or bring holiness to God's name? I can honor God's name as holy by worshiping him, serving others, and living in loving obedience as his child and a citizen of his kingdom. So, let's go through the scriptural references together. Deuteronomy 4, 6 through 8. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Next is Psalm 105, verses 1 to 6. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his chosen, of his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Next is Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 16 to 32. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were like the uncleanness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land, for the idols with which they had defiled it. I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my holy name and that people said of them, these are the people of the Lord, yet they had to go out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and bring you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanliness. And I will summon the grain and make it abundant, and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, declares the Lord God. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded in your ways, O house of Israel. Next is from the Gospel of our Lord according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And the final scriptural reference is Book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, question 177. How can you hallow God's name? I can honor God's name as holy by worshiping him, serving others, and living in loving obedience as his child and a citizen of his kingdom. So, let's expand. I'm going to go to Augustine of Hippo, who's commenting on the Psalm 105. Okay, so Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Okay, Augustine of Hippo. This psalm is the first of those to which is prefixed the word Alleluia, the meaning of which word, or rather two words, is praise the Lord. For this reason he beginneth with praises. O confess unto the Lord and call upon his name. Verse 1. For this confession is to be understood as praise, just as these words of our Lord, I confess to thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. For after commencing with praise, calling upon God is wont to follow, whereunto he that prayeth doth next add his longings. Whence the Lord's prayer itself hath at the commencement a very brief praise in these words, Our Father, which art in heaven. The things prayed for then follow. This also followeth. tell the people what things he hath done. Or rather, to translate literally from the Greek, as other Latin copies do have it, preach the gospel of his works among the Gentiles. Unto whom is this addressed, save unto the evangelists in prophecy? Here ends the reading. Absolutely loved coming across this, since, of course, we are talking about the Lord's Prayer, and Augustine of Hippo sees in this psalm, like we're seeing in this psalm, a connection to the Lord's Prayer, to confess the name of the Lord, to give praise to his name. If I seem like I'm pausing a little too bit, I've adjusted my recording settings, and for some reason there's this slight lag between my speaking and what I'm hearing in my headphones. So it's almost like an echo, and it's slightly distracting. It seemed pretty good when I was doing some testing, but now it's kind of annoying me as I'm trying to think and record. So anyway, and it could also be that I can only really hear well with my left ear, and so I'm not getting a stereo sound in my own head. I still have I love how they use these technical terms. There's a hole in my ear, or as the doctor said, you have a 10% perforation of the eardrum. So right ear is like half of what I hear out of my left. So I think that's the problem. I'm actually not getting a stereo sense, but the sense that it's just in my left ear. Anyway, back to the catechism, instead of you knowing about my medical problems. So this hallowing of God's name to bring praises, to bring holiness, right? Well, only God is holy, so we can only bring back to him that which is already his. In Deuteronomy, you have this statement of Moses, like, what other people has such a fabulous set of rules? Now, we have sort of, how do I put this? There's a sense in which we've taken the phrase of Paul, we are not under law but under grace, as a understanding that the law is sort of gone. And that's not exactly the case. The law still exists, except we're given grace to fulfill the law. And a lot of the law has been already fulfilled for us. So we fulfill all the parts within our own lives that we can fulfill. Like, we can't save ourselves. Christ has already done that for us. That function of the law, that thing that it was looking for, that it couldn't do, Jesus did. Right? Death on a cross, place of the sinner, propitiation of sins, that great salvific moment. Jesus did that. God did that for us. We're called to live holy and righteous lives, to be different, to be holy like our God is holy. So in hallowing God's name by living, as it puts in the catechism, living in loving obedience as his child and a citizen of his kingdom, right? So citizens of a kingdom all have laws under which they live. And Jesus and scripture, of course, the word of the Lord, Jesus being the word of the Lord incarnate, or his logos, right? The virtue of the Lord, the divine idea, these, I need to reset. All of a sudden my screen was gone. I got to reset that setting. Sorry. Everything gone. We live as citizens in a kingdom, right? Our king is Jesus. Do everything as unto the Lord, right? This has been what the ongoing work of my own particular struggle I'm sure many others struggle, but I suppose it, I feel it most acutely right now. This idea of I don't work for my boss, strictly speaking. I work for Jesus. I'm out on loan. Right? So if my boss gives me a command that goes in contrary to what my Lord tells me to do, I'm not going to do the command of my boss. It's simple as that. Now, works out, you know, there's lots of ways in which, of course, just doing my job, there's nothing illegal, contrary to scripture, and virtuous, etc. But this, trying to really get in my head, I'm not trying to please my boss. I'm trying to please Jesus. If I end up pleasing my boss in the process, great. But my main concern should be pleasing Jesus, right? To live up to the virtue of the life of the higher calling, to an obedient child and a citizen of his kingdom, living in loving obedience, as the question and answer sets before us. So worshiping him, so I was reminded all of a sudden, the two brothers, right? The father says to the one son, go into the field and work. And he says, yes, I will. But he doesn't go. And he says to the other son, go into the field and work. No, I won't. But later he relents and goes. And he asks the Pharisees, who then has done the will of the Father? And the Pharisees, of course, reluctantly say, well, the one who actually went and did it. Right? The words of saying, oh yeah, I'll go do it, but not doing it. So Jesus is saying, your words are not as important as your actions. Do the actions match the words? And of course, in relenting and going to the field, he shows repentance, right? Contrition, I shouldn't have said that, I should go do it, right? I'm sort of putting this sort of sad voice on it, but to be a man, to be a mature adult, I will go into the field and work as I have been commanded by my Father. That's a repentance, a turning from not going to the field and going into the field. So words and actions. I don't know if any other theologians put it out there, but one of Richard's little ideas that I keep in my head is that Jesus is in his perfection. One of the things is he's the only one who has ever lived whose words and actions and words match up perfectly. There is no variance. His words match his actions match his words. It's in perfect agreement, perfect, what, balance, perfect, perfect perfection. Don't know any other way to put it, but he is the standard, right? The thing to which we look, the person to which we look for all things. So now I'm going to turn to, my favorite, John Chrysostom. Not sure why I'm struggling with that this morning. Anyway, so this is on Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. All right, John Chrysostom. What then? Do you command us to live for display and vainglory? Far from it. I say not this, for I do not say, give ye diligence to bring forward your own good deeds. Neither did I say, show them. But let your light shine. That is, let your virtue be great, and the fire abundant, and the light unspeakable. For when virtue is so great, it cannot be hidden, though its pursuer shaded it over 10,000-fold. presented to them in an incomprehensible life, and let them have no true occasion of evil speaking. And then, though there be thousands of evil speakers, no man shall be able to cast any shade upon you. And well did he say, your light, for nothing makes a man so illustrious, how manifold soever his will to be concealed as the manifestation of virtue. For as it were clad with the very sunbeam, so he shines, yet brighter than it, not sending his rays on earth, but summoning also heaven itself. Hence also he comforts them more abundantly. For what through the slander pain you, says he, yet shall you have many to honor God on your account. Yeah, sorry, I've lost my place. Okay. And in both ways, your recompense is gathering, as well because God is glorified through you, as because you are defamed for God's sake. Thus, lest we should on purpose seek to be the reproached, on hearing that there is a reward for it. First, he has not expressed that sentiment simply, but has two limitations, namely, then what is said is false, and when it is for God's sake. And next he signifies how not that only, but also good report has its great profit, the glory of it passing on to God. And he holds out to them those gracious hopes. For says he, the calumny of the wicked avails not so much as to put all others in the dark, in respect of seeing your light. For then only when you have lost your savor shall they tread you underfoot, but not when you are falsely accused, doing right. Yea, rather, then shall there may be many admiring, no, not you only, but for your sake your Father also. And he said not God, but your Father, already sowing beforehand the seeds of that noble birth, which was about to be bestowed upon them. Moreover, indicating his parity and honor, as he said in above, grieve not when you are evil spoken of, for it is enough for you that for my sake you are thus spoken of. So here he mentions the Father, everywhere manifesting his equality. Here ends the reading. So, to sum up Chrysostom, virtue has within itself a great recompense. Even if you are treated vilely for it, that will eventually shine out. How many times have we seen a good and honorable man or woman dragged into the court of for unjust charges, and history almost always bears them out. I'm sure there's many who may not know, we may not know their story, but on the other side of heaven, we'll know their story. There will be many quiet whose challenging of the evil of their day, we will know better on the other side of heaven. When this mortal coil is shuffled off. So, living in a virtuous fashion is not always good for us in the sense of what the world considers good, but is always ultimately good. Who do you wish to please? Man or God? And so, I think that's enough ramblings. I do have more Chrysostom. Oh, it is actually rather short. All right. Oh, yes. Both of these came from full-length sermons. So I had to pare them down, take out the section that was most relevant to both the scripture and to the subject at hand, which of course is, how can you hallow God's name? So, Hebrews 13, through him let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. So, John Chrysostom. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. I speak not merely with reference to the brethren present, but to those absent also. But if others have plundered your property, display your hospitality of such things as you have. What excuse then shall we have henceforward when they, after the spoiling of their goods, were thus admonished? And he did not say, do not be forgetful of the entertaining of strangers, but out of hospitality. That is, do not merely entertain strangers, but do it with love for the strangers. Moreover, he did not speak of the recompense that is future and in store for us, that should make them more supine, but of that already given. For thereby some, he says, have entertained angels unawares. Here ends the reading. I think it's an interesting turn of phrase. Even after they've plundered your property, display hospitality of such things as you have. So even if you've had evil committed against you, we're still to show hospitality. That's a hard saying. Very hard saying. I guess it works sort of against the Western mindset of some sort of functioning legal system. But it's an admonishment to us to remember that we are always to be stewards of the things that God has given us, whether much or little, and knowing that all things are within his sight. We do not know the glory which could come out of such what seems like a small act. But the writer of Hebrews says, as he's quoting from someplace else, to remind us that some have entertained angels unawares. So you do not know everything. So we are to be obedient in all things, like a child, because what's the one thing we try to always train a child to do is to listen to us, even if you don't understand why, right? Because later on you will understand. I tell you to stop running because you don't know you're about to run out into traffic because you're chasing a ball. I use this example all the time because I still have a very clear memory of my daughter chasing, I think she was even chasing something. It just seemed like she just sort of took off running between the cars out into the parking lot. And I yelled at her to stop. At the end of the car, she came to a stop and the car went speeding past that she would have most likely been hit by. Right? She didn't understand. She couldn't even see over the cars. That's how little she was. She couldn't even have seen the other car coming. Even out of the corner of her eye, she didn't even pay attention. Right? But she listened to my voice. We don't know what troubles we're stopped from sometimes because we aren't able to see the things that God can see. He has a perspective of an infinite perspective, right? A perfect perspective. A perspective of perfection. Anyway, so let's wrap it up. Question 177, how can you hallow God's name? I can honor God's name as holy by worshiping him, serving others, and living in loving obedience as his child and a citizen of his kingdom. So I want to thank you for listening. It's been my pleasure doing this. Sorry for the long break that I took. Sometimes things can't be avoided. And I feel a little refreshed coming back to this. It's nice to be doing this again. I think it's been like 2 weeks. So Let's close in prayer and visit this place, O Lord, and drive far from it all snares of the enemy. Let your holy angels dwell with us to preserve us in peace. And let your blessing be upon us always, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.